in Acts chapter 15, and beginning at verse 11. Acts 15 and verse 11. Let's see verses 11, 12, and 13. Acts 15, 11, beginning at verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in this day. Now all the multitudes have silence, and the audience divided us in all. Yet all were miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Find verse 11. We believe. Who's speaking here? And why are they speaking? Why are they speaking? Who are the ones that are getting this to break? Where is this being held, by the way? What city? In Jerusalem. Right? This is what we call the Jerusalem Council, right here in the city of Jerusalem. And why did the people go to Jerusalem? How many were there that went? Remember? From last week?
Because there was the controversy of whether you needed to be a Jew before you
became a Christian. Okay, be a Jew, certified before you're a Christian. And so, whom did the church send to Jerusalem? What were their names? I know two of them.
Paul.
Barnabas. And then several of them. Remember, it said several of them. Okay, so it says, that we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which they say, we can say. Who is the they referred to here in verse 11? We will be saved. Who is the we referred to?
All of the
we will be saved in his name. So there's a we they situation. So there's a written, there's a there, John, there's two witnesses with. Now, who would the we be and who would the they be? Who are the we speaking? Paul and Barnabas. What kind of people were they? What nationality were they? They were the Jews. And it's talking about the Gentile member in verse 10, talks about why can't he put a yoke on the yoke of the disciple that we need our lives to bear? In other words, the question is verse 7, that the Gentiles should hear the gospel and believe. So it's a Gentile Jew situation, right? So who would the we then be for?
We are the Jews.
They is the Gentiles. Okay. Now, what is grace? It's an interesting word.
Grace.
What does grace mean? It says that they will be saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How did the Lord Jesus Christ give anybody grace? What would grace mean? Yes, Anne? That's exactly right. Getting something you don't deserve. That's that word. And what is mercy? Perhaps, yeah.
Mercy is not
getting
something you do deserve.
That's right. Not getting something you do deserve. That's mercy. It's confusing, isn't it? If it's confusing, how does it happen to know it?
I took a guess.
Oh, that's good. Grace is positive. Getting something we don't deserve. Mercy is negative. Not getting something that we do deserve. We do deserve to go to hell. But God's mercy says we don't get it. It's good. Yes,
ma'am? We don't deserve to go to heaven, but God's grace
allows it. That's right. We don't deserve to go to heaven, but God's grace gets something we don't deserve. That's right. You got that right. And, Dr. M. Abby Hunt, Father Ray Rowclash, is the one that always, you know, gave these definitions. I like that. Ever since I heard it many, many, many years ago. All right, so the grace of our Lord Jesus. Now, did the Lord Jesus Christ exhibit grace while he was here from earth? All right, how did he exhibit that grace? That's right. Well, let's back up. Did he exhibit grace before he came to this earth?
Mm-hmm.
How? And why? Was it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, before he came to the earth, did grace have anything to do with his coming to this earth? Alright? Remember, we said that verse this morning, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, the boy was rich. But for your sakes he became poor. That Jesus and his father might be rich. But grace, where was he rich? In heaven. He became poor. On earth. Jesus and his father might be rich. What does that reach? we might be rich, in what sense does he make us rich in that person? Well, the heavenly one is the spiritual riches, and the spiritual riches were rich in faith. So the grace of faith brought him down, and when he was here, what did some of the people say about his words? Grace and truth, you can't, the law was written by Moses. Grace and truth came to Jesus. Maybe that's some people say he was blasphemy, that's like some words. But sit down.
I don't think he said
in
the spiritual way.
Somebody can't that. Well, I don't know. That, one of the things that the people said, they marveled at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. The gracious words came out of his mouth. What kind of words did he get in the order of the Pharisees? In Matthew 23, he rebuked them. What did he call them?
They wanted to trap him.
They wanted to trap him in his speech, didn't they? What were some of his words for them? What were the Pharisees? What kind of people were they? They were the sepulchers. What is the open sepulcher? That's right. Open, okay. A tomb filled with all dead men's bones and living. Did he call them animals, certain animals?
Vipers,
that's right. Or generation of vipers. Who have told you the feet were at the tomb? It's not a vipers called a viper, too. And go tell that fox was one of the things he said. Many, either the family or one of the leaders, laid with cures today and tomorrow I will go to Jerusalem. To call somebody a fox. You know, at the Bible conference this year, Mr. Was it?
Is it Harry?
I think it was Harry. Yeah, it was Harry. It was fine. There at the Bible conference, Mr. Webb, Don Webb was the director of that conference. He said, you know, there's something about a fox. That's a very good figure of speech. Foxes are clever. They come and sneak up on those chickens. Of course, real smooth. He's seen a lot of foxes have eaten his chickens. He tells him, there's a fox. And that illustration, see, there's the fox. There's the fox. Sneaking up, very sneaky. Huh? Mr. what? Mr. McDonald told me about a fox? Yeah, also Mr. Webb. See, both of them. See, Mr. McDonald had foxes and chickens. Fox ate his chickens. And he just ate one. But everybody knows. See, after he told me that, then Mr. Webb approached me privately and told me about this experience of fox. But the Lord Jesus had gracious words. He was full of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving him, we will be saved. What does it mean to be saved? What does that mean?
Delivered.
Delivered, okay? From what? To what? Redeemed? What does it mean? Somebody says, I am saved, and somebody else says, I'm not saved. What does that mean?
The elect, you're not part of the group of Jesus.
Well, not the elect, not part of the group of Jesus, not the ones that are Christians and the ones that are saved. They're not born again, they don't have eternal life, they don't have forgiveness. So, but by the grace, we should be saved even at the grace of the Lord Jesus. And in verse 12, who's going to be telling what happened to them when they went along with Gentiles? Who are the spokespeople here? Was this an orderly assembly? Or did it have confusion? You think in verse 12. And why? Were there just a few people there, or was it a great lot of people there?
Multitude.
And was it confusing, or was it orderly? And why was it? How many? Verse 7 says what?
Disputing.
Okay, so at first they were disputing, but when Paul Myers got in verse 12, was, did it become one? Did they stop disputing?
Yeah,
they are. Is that a good idea to keep silence? And what's the second thing? Now they kept silence, what's the second thing about this? What does it mean to get audience?
Pay
attention. So in other words, you can be quiet, but your mind can be a million miles away. Right? But they did both. They kept silent and they listened. And they listened. And so, well, that was good, wasn't it? So, what did Paul Barnabas say? What was their purpose? What did they tell this multitude? This sound of terror multitude?
About the
Gentiles. About the Gentiles. The Lord had done through them and the among the Gentiles. Now, miracles and wonders. What is a miracle? Are we still have miracles and wonders that are performed today as a part of our Christian faith, as similar to what the Lord Jesus was here, for example? Is it a day of wonders and miracles?
So
it works amongst people. It does work amongst people. It changes us.
And he
can
do miracles, but it's not in the same sense.
Same sense, but these were special signs. What three people upon this earth that God gave special miraculous multitudes of miracles during their lifetime? Some Old Testament, some New. Who are the ones where miracles were really strong? Adam? Which one? Elijah, a lot of miracles. And?
Paul
wasn't as much as people that had a few. Moses was great, and a lot of miracles because of Red Sea. Of course, who was the sidekick of Elijah?
Elisha.
How many? Confusing. You got another confusing thing. All right. And how did you know it? You memorize these confusing things. That's good. So, what was the distinction between the number of miracles Elijah performed versus Elisha? What's the numerical difference between the two?
There's one more, the grace,
all right,
the spirit, and Elijah.
Double, right? Double, double what I said. Double force. I said, Elisha said, please bless me, Father. I want to bless me, Father. I'm all together. Bless me, Elisha. Whatever you call it. But I said, God, bless me, Father. Elisha, because I like a double force. And the Lord didn't answer that. I believe it, not for sure. I believe Elijah did 7 miracles and the other 14. I'm not too sure of that. Well, 7 for me, but it's exactly double. That's about right, isn't it? Part of the time, maybe there's more than just 3, but a lot of miracles were performed. The judges, you think?
Joshua.
Well, they had some. So?
Lord
Jesus Christ. A lot of them were. So, the basic, the big ones, I suppose Elijah, I suppose Moses. Remember, Moses and Elijah appeared with the Lord in the Mount of Transfiguration, and then, of course, the Lord Jesus himself. But there's miracles, but fear, but not in the same sense. The Lord is still able, isn't he, to perform miracles in his own will. But what about the charismatic, Anna?
Well,
he was, and he was strong days from the dead.
But if he was supposed to live,
was dead, they thought he was dead, that's right. So that was a miracle, wasn't it?
They didn't know if he was dead or not.
They didn't know if he was alive. Mm-hmm.
Then that. Just that was a 7 days, and then he gave it miracle wonders.
Yes.
Paul
Barnes did, that's right. So, the age of miracles and wonders was still in this apostolic time, wasn't it? But the charismatics and the signs of other people today feel that we still have those special same kinds of wonders as here, and that's where we believe that they're not proper and correct. The miracles were proof that God was real and genuine. The gospel was real, huh?
Can I talk?
Yes.
When we were in camp, we heard the radio, we heard the Sunday speaking on the radio, and I believe it was at the camp cabin, and he said that he got his government and gave him a vision, and
yes.
He went to some official, the governor or something, told us to do that.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, he's having visions. So this is a kid, and I have a vision.
I prophesied to him.
I was saying, well, but these were genuine miracles and wonders, and God's power was there, but among the Gentiles, by them, not because of them, but God had done the miracles. And then in verse 13, who was the spokesman now? After Paul Barnabas told all that the Lord had done. Who spoke of it? James. All right, James. And who was James? Are there any Jameses in the New Testament? Yeah, there's a apostle that came from John, the brother of John, that's right. Well, this is possible. In chapter 12, who was killed in verse 2? Chapter 12, verse 2. Well, it says in verse 2 of chapter 12, see if you can figure it out. It says, they slew James. Who was he? The brother of John. See, you see that, chapter 12, verse 2? Now, they killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. There's James the less, there's James, the brother of the Lord. See, there's a James, it's a related half-brother of the Lord. We're not sure just which James is it. Was that? Yeah, there's at least four James. See, there's the book of James on it. Many feel the book of James is written by the half-brother of the Lord. If you look in, let's see, look at the Lord's brothers, just to get a picture. In Matthew, I think it's 13, the list of the children of the Lord, brother of the Lord. Wait, it's 13. Let's see if they can find it.
Half brothers.
Not even close to a little brother. No, that's right. Not even close. They had the same mother, but they certainly didn't have the same brother. Am I right in that? Is it 15? The brethren, the half brothers of the Lord. I think it's 15. Well, that would be too easy, wouldn't it?
His dad
was born. What? What?
1355.
1355
is the name, but not
all. 1355. I thought it was 15. This was the first of all that, with James and Joseph, Simon and Judas, and his sisters. Right. Yeah, I think that's about the only one they have. Here's James, the brother of the Lord, half brother. It was 13 after all. I just couldn't see it. All right, so this way right there, possibly this could be that James. But it wasn't the James of brother John because he had been killed. So what did James do in chapter 15 there, that verse that we're in? What sort of a, we haven't come to speak to it. How did he address him? In verse 15. Men and brethren. Okay, let's read 14, 15, and 16 together. Simeon had declared how God at the first to visit the Gentiles and take out of them a people for his name. And to this agreed the words of the prophets, as it is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Alright, so James talk about Simeon. Who would this Simeon be?
The one that God promised to see the Messiah before he died.
That's one of them. That's one Simeon. Who's the other Simeon? Another Simeon. Who is the Simeon in this general context in verse 7?
Simon,
alright? Simeon is Simon. Same word. It's the same word. Yes, Simeon is Simon. That's right, Simon. So Simon, in other words, Peter, he's calling him by his Jewish name, Simeon, had declared. Now, how God at the first did visit the Gentiles, that what group is it called a people for his name? What's another name for the people for his name? The
church.
The believers, the same people. And he visited the Gentiles, and it's wonderful because the Jews had rejected him, and he took up about people for his name. God visited the Gentiles. Then verse 15, was this prophetic or was this all in the New Testament? He's taking out a people for his name. Pointing to the Gentiles. That was in the prophets. It says that I will set thee forth a light to the Gentiles. See, that's in the book of Isaiah, a light to the Gentiles. Lord Jesus mentions that he is the light to the Gentiles. As is written. And here it says that after this our return and build tabernacle of David, to follow God. Now, what does he mean after this? What period of time has it been that is called the times of the Gentiles? It started when? What was the period of time that began the times of the Gentiles?
The time the Jews stopped.
Well, when the Jews stopped receiving the Lord, when they stopped trusting him, when the Lord Jesus in chapter 11 of Matthew said, come unto me all of you, and they're everywhere, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn. Yes.
But when he
cursed
the fig tree,
it
was unto you.
That probably has to do with a lot of the truth. And then in Matthew 23, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, kill the prophets, and slaughter us under the sin of thee. How oft will I gather thee unto me as a chick, and I can gather the chick, and he would not, he did not want it. And henceforth he shall not see me, but he said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The last few verses in Matthew 23. And then in other places it says in the book of Acts here, hence return to the Gentiles. Remember, there were the Jews up to a certain point received, but then they rejected. Jews have believed that. Strong walls all around the different cities. And so the people for his name, the prophet said, return. But once the Gentile rule was finished, when will God again take up the Jews as a nation?
Daniel
7th, tribulation. All right, during the 7-year period, tribulation, how is God going to regenerate and save Jewish people? How's he going to do that? 144,000. How many from each tribe? That's right. 1,200 from each tribe, right? 12,000, that's right. 12,000. 144,000. And just think of the miracle powers that God's going to illustrate then. Do the Jews readily accept the gospel today? Little? No. Some do. But I mean, as a whole, they rejected the gospel. But in that tribulation 7 years, when their own people were saved, God delivers them from hell and saves them, they're going to listen. They're going to be. It says, in the millennial age of Christ, a huge number, no matter the number, and they're going to go in there, save people. And there's going to be a renewal of the house of David, and God will then again bless his people. And so, when my name and name, the prophet said, Lord, we'll do it for all these things. He'll build again the ruins, and I will set it up. What is the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and David? The descendant. It's called David's son. He's a descendant of David. And so the house of David will be found out of Israel. And I'm going to say 17, 18, and 19 together. That the residue of man might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, known unto God of all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we call not them which go to the Gentiles are turned to God. All right, what is in verse 17? What is the residue of man? What is residue? The rest, okay, the rest. Something that when you put cream in a glass, pure cream, and you pour out the cream, or drink the cream, or whatever, there's a residue, isn't it, on that glass. It's a residual. That was just left over. They might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, especially, upon whom my name is called. Now, when God raises up again the people of David, the tabernacle of David, verse 16, is fallen down, what will also accompany the salvation of many, many in Israel? What will also accompany that, according to verse 17? Will anybody else accompany the salvation of the Jews? Verse 17?
So there's going to be some left. That aren't
Jews
then?
Yeah.
The residue, the rest?
Yes, see, the residue of man, let's see, I think I've read that there'll be some that will not be saved, but they still are going to seek after the Lord after. In other words, the whole Jewish population in the tribulation period won't be saved, but there'll be a huge number. They come in the morning, there's still some of them lost, and so the residue of the Jews that are not saved will come in. And also, what else accompanies that? When David's people are brought up together again, according to verse 17. who else are going to accompany those things?
Pardon?
The Gentiles also, and upon whom my name is called, the Gentiles also, and all the Gentiles will seek that for the Lord. He said, the rest of the Gentiles, all the heathen people can imagine. That's why the book of Isaiah says, Egypt is going to turn to the Lord. It says, Moab, all these different heathen nations all around Israel are going to turn to the Lord. It's amazing to see. I'm sure that Iraq and Iran and all these different people during the age of money, they will turn to the Lord and be converted. It's almost unbelievable to see how those people that hate Jesus now will turn to him and it's not that's
a pattern. The Lord returns to set up his kingdom. Isn't that when the battle of Armageddon is?
Yes, at the end of that tribulation period.
So then who are these Gentiles that are still here?
Well, the Gentiles, some will be saved through the ministry of the 144,000 during the tribulation. They will enter the millennium saved. As we know, all the people entering the millennium will be saved people. But then children will be born to live, the lost people in the millennium, and they'll have to be saved. So
everyone that dies when he returns will be unsaved.
Unsaved.
And then believers, that would be.
Now also remember this. What will the Antichrist do to those who become saved, many of them during the tribulation? What will he do to them? He'll kill them. If you don't have the mark of the beast, they should be slain. And so there's lots of slaughter, you know, because the Antichrist hates Christ. If they don't receive his mark on his name, they'll get into that thing. They got to pick and choose. Now, many will not receive his mark and will be slain. Some will receive the mark and sort of compromise the testimony, but they won't be slain and will be sort of half hearted.
This
year, huh?
The slaying and stoning,
Well, apparently. There must be an interval, apparently, and the rest of them take care of the new heaven and new earth. I don't know about the people. Maybe I'll set them off a little bit of a sky hook somewhere. But there's got to be a time, and the renewal, this battle of Armageddon is going to be a terrible, terrible slaughter. Millions probably slain at one time. As it says this morning, we talked about how the sockets of their eyes will be coming out of the tongues. They'll just be completely burned up in the slaying of the Lord by the brightness of his coming, it says in 2 Thessalonians. But as to the timing of the new heavens and the new earth, I'm not sure what's going to happen. We'll take care of it somehow. Yes, Dan?
It's going to be in Jerusalem, so it's not. I'm not sure they all have to be, all three have to take place simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why they, if they did, why the ones the people that are here have, it's not like they're living in a house to be knocked down by bulldozer. If that's how God is able to work out a way so he can change your surroundings without you being injured in any way, because you have
that's true. We have certain bombs that will do that, don't they? They kill the people without destroying the structure. It'll kill people, but the structures will be remained.
Cousin Melanson, Paris. And he says the Lord is going to
kill us. I know, he's all
in. I don't understand when that will happen.
I don't either. Mr. Cabby thinks from the tribulation.
I don't have any.
On the family radio, at least she's not. He doesn't believe. Oh, yes, Mr. Cabby, oh, yes. That never happened. There's so many different views on these things, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens. The new heaven, the new earth, and all this thing. Because the day of the Lord is going to be a terrific penalty and judgment of the people. Anyhow, the Lord will call more Gentiles, as well as more of the resident Jews, and he will call them and they'll be saved. And in what does verse 18 mean as far as God's attributes? What attribute is exemplified here in verse 18? There's really probably two attributes. What would they be?
Well,
Okay.
And what would that have to be? Omniscience, all knowing. Then, his works, what attribute is necessary for the Lord to perform all these works of creation and all that? What attribute would that be? What's that?
Omnipowerful,
that's good. What would be another big word for that? Omnipotence. Omnipowerful, omnipotence. That's a presence, means powerful. So omnipotence, that's actually known from the beginning of the world. Who began the world? Did the Big Bang begin the world? Did evolution? No, it didn't. Who did? Who made it?
The Lord.
That was the Lord. Did he only begin at the beginning of the world, or was he before the beginning of the world? Could he have been at the beginning of the world as could he have begun when he began the world? No. He had to be way, how many years before the beginning of the world has the Lord been existing?
There's no time.
For the Lord, there's no time. Between the beginning of creation and the end of time, the end of the world, and this life is over. Eternity past, eternity future, for that now, we're in time.
Huh?
He's infinite. He's infinite. That's right. He goes on, there's no, and that's hard for us who are finite to understand infinity. No limits to it. Yeah?
He goes to those in both directions.
Yes, he does.
One
direction. No, that's right. Eternity past and eternity future. That's right. Both directions, the Lord does. He knows them from the beginning of the world, his works. You suppose he made all the works before he created the world? What do you think? Let's say, what works did he make before he created the world? What's the first verse of the Bible?
Heaven.
Heavens, all right. In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. So who were in the heavens before he created the angels? So I would say Satan was there, and all the other angels, holy angels, before they became unholy angels, some of them. So these are works that he created. Then he created all that was in this earth. Yeah?
Satan is
called Lucifer. Yes, at times called Lucifer. What does Lucifer mean in that Latin term? Lucifer. What does that mean?
Light.
Lux is light. So like Lux soap. Pharaoh. Carrier. Light carrier, light bearer. See, when the bearer's light, see, that's what he's known by. He's even now called by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 an angel of light. So, Lucifer, angel of light, but what is his essence? What is he really? Evil. An angel of darkness, evil. But he parades himself as an angel. And his ministers, those that are Satan's ministers. You mean Satan? Does Satan have ministers? So according to Paul, and what are they? They're demons, but also does they have human ministers? Those that are lost and unsaved would be ministers. Ministers are right, but they're really evil. So he's created these angels even before, but he knows from the beginning of the world all of his works. So you have no anything you're going to do from now till the end of this day? No, you don't know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm going to do. You may plan to go here, go there, or go up to Allentown at 4 o'clock and so on. But the details. How can God know all when we can't?
We don't have omniscience.
We don't have omniscience, that's right. And it's amazing. Computers are greater than people as far as being able to compute things. But they can't really, they don't have hearts like we have, and feelings and souls. They just have just the mathematical emptiness of the Lord is able to do all these things and know from the books. Alright, let's read verse, I guess we're going to read 19. Let's read 19, 20, 21, just so we get the picture here. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which among the Gentiles are turned to God. If there be right unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of all time had in every city in the preaching being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So what does James' sentence What does he think that these Gentiles were saved to do? Circumcise them? What does it mean? You throw them out then.
Laid
them down in the law, because it was a terrible, terrible thing that laid the people out, and the law Moses, they couldn't even know what they could do. It was Jesus kept it. And one of the four things in verse 20 that James said they should do or not do? No idols. No fornication. What else? Exactly. I guess what I was thinking
of
that.
From
blood. Oh, blood. Yeah, where's that? Look. Oh, yeah, blood. So that's right. The last one. Somebody else wants to accept it. Now, what does it mean from pollution of idols? All idols pollution? Yes, they are. The people who worship them take their pollution? Well, they think they're all idols. The idol of idolaters. That's wonderful. They worship an idol. They pray to them. They give them food. The ones who are chivalrous, they have a little idol on the side. They have a little peaches and apples and oranges, and they put them there. What are you doing that for, you ask them? Oh, I've got to see my
idols. Catholics
like candles. Pardon?
The Catholics
like candles. Yes, Catholics like candles, and they have their idols, and they don't do like that.
Do they eat them?
Do they
eat
them?
No, I'm eating the
idols. Oh, they don't eat the food, just put them out.
And
the eye right
there. They
put it
there, and
then they take it away. They put some more, yeah. They must spiritually eat it or something. Certainly not physically.
Did
you ask what that? See, so that's what Paul said. Eating things offered idols. Remember that's in the New Testament? Well, that's good. The eating forgets. But it's a strange thing. But these four things, pollution, fornication, and wickedness, or sinful sexual relations, part of non believers, or any one that's not married or married that is prohibited, things strangled. Why would that be
prohibition?
Well, that would be part of it. They don't strangle them, though, do they? Then the Old Testament said that you can't eat anything that dieth of itself. Why not? That's what God said in the Old Testament. Why didn't he put food? If it's got rotting, maybe have a disease inside of it, it wouldn't be out. But if it's strangled, it doesn't have a chance to pump the blood out. See, this fourth thing from blood, there's your kosher. How does an Orthodox Jew slaughter his animals to eat?
He has to drain the blood.
Drain the blood. If it's a chicken, they put the chicken up, and put by his feet, slit his throat, and let the blood all over their mouth. See? It has to be treated as a heart to be pumping. You get all the blood possible. And if you strangle something, the blood is all right. It could be a disease, it could be all kinds of things. So things strangle. Now, some people eat roadkill. What is roadkill? Some people, I've been told, see. I couldn't possibly do it. See, that would be, you don't know what it is. The blood is still there. It could be disease. It could be maggots coming out of that. It could be that food and
the third one's a kid.
Well, I suppose they immediately, I suppose, okay, but I mean, people and other people hit. If they hit the thing, they could sort of, so I'm not a hunter. I don't know how the hunters prepare their deer.
They feel
it. Okay, how does it go?
They got it.
They got it. The stuff from top to bottom, take out the internals, the insides, and I suppose blood would be taken out as well. So I suppose if you hit the car and they immediately do it, I suppose you could accomplish that. But blood kill for somebody else's kill, and I think sitting there for how many hours, how many days, you know, be terrible. But God had certain restrictions, these four things that they should think of. And then in verse 21, Moses, the whole time, hadn't ever said, then the preacher. Who was Moses? Yes, who was Moses?
Moses took the people out of Egypt.
Okay. So why are the people preaching?
The law.
The law, okay. What books did Moses write? first five books. What's that?
Genesis,
Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those are five, aren't they? What's the other big name for that?
Pentateuch.
What does Pentateuch mean?
Five.
What does Telos mean? Tools, five tools, five implements. There's five books in it. Pentateuch. So we have, isn't it? Well, now that's what Dr. Hovind said, and that's one point I disagree with Dr. Hovind. I'm glad you picked that up now. Dr. Hovind said Moses did not write Genesis, he compiled it. No, I just can't believe that. Huh? What's that?
I said that's not right. That's
I
know. That's what the professors at the secular college themselves.
Yes.
Yes,
or J.E.P.B. In fact, what do the people say regarding Moses being able to write? What do the people say about Moses' ability to write?
He would be well educated because
yes.
Because he was brought up by the
fact. What do they say about his ability to write? He couldn't write, he did not anything. See, the liberals don't believe that Moses could even write. The Lord Jesus says, have you not read? And he quotes Moses. Have you not read? He quotes Moses. And he quotes him, I believe, in all five of these books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So I will part company with Brother Hovind. He's accepted that. That's about the only thing I would differ with this wonderful presentation on creation. But what does that mean? Well, people, friends of mine, have talked to him about it. He's very strong. I don't think he's going to change in my life. I could have. But how Moses, old time of preaching in every city, being read in the synagogue every Sunday. Now, if they're reading Moses, what would that imply? The law and following, yes, right? What would that imply if they're reading him? What would that?
They
were God. Huh?
They wrote something.
They wrote something. I mean, how can you read somebody if they haven't written? See? Now, so this is very important. And so there are a lot of people that believe that that's the case. Let's read verse 22, 3, and 4 together. Then please get the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, and then with Judas, Jermaine, and Barnabas, and Silas, these are men of the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us and troubled you were words subverting of your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we give no such commandment. Okay, we'll call it right there in the middle of the sentence. In verse 22, what did the apostles and elders and the whole church decide to do? Okay, they went back to Antioch, didn't they? This was probably Antioch from Syria, was it not? And Dan was in Antioch, Syria, so it's way up in this area here. Is Antioch on this map? It's way up here somewhere. I don't think it's on this map. Antioch, they went to Antioch, because that's where the questions are over, isn't it? Now, who accompanied Paul and Barnabas? Barnabas? And Silas, okay, Judas or Barnabas, and Silas. The chief men on the way. So in other words, they did not want just Paul and Barnabas, who came with other men down to Jerusalem. They wanted them to go back, but also two of their own people, see, two chief men, leading men, from the church of Jerusalem to go up with them to Antioch. And then in the first 23, what else did they do? How did they go up, or what else did they do? They wrote letters. Now that's important, is to put it in writing so that you'll know. And they, what are some of the words that they put in this letter?
Seven
greetings. They say, who are those apostles, Lord and brother? Send greetings, brethren. Which are of the Gentiles in what places? Yeah, Syria and Cilicia. Okay, those are provinces where the Gentiles were. And what did they say they knew about? What did the people of Jerusalem tell these in Antioch? What did they that they heard and they were troubled? What was troubling them?
They
right, certain people said that they had to be circumcised, keep the law. And what does it mean to subvert your soul? Was that a good thing or a bad thing? Subverting the truth. So changing the truth, subverting the soul. Subversion is a bad thing. What is political subversion? It's the turn change in an underhanded way. It's subverted. Very good word. It's a Latin term. Underhandedness. So you come in there and just cleverly change your head.
It's the Galatians,
the
people in Galatians.
Yes.
They're coming in and
teaching
that the people
need to be circumcised. Yes, that was. They called them through the Isis. The people that affected it, it wasn't Galatia. And they came in and had to be circumcised, be taught. So they subverted their souls. Now, what would the difference be? A subversion of the soul versus a subversion of the mind versus a subversion of the body. How would you analyze these three areas of subversion? Is it possible to be subverted in all these areas? We say subverted, we say perverted. We see the perverts and perverts in college, whatever. Well, what would the difference, what would be the effect on subversion of the spirit, the soul, and the body? Or the mind, instead of the...
We have
a sample of subverting
the mind within us.
Yes, our minds can be twisted and turned. Spirits, souls, that's part of the fields, isn't it? Part of the fields of us, our love, our emotions, and so on. And our body, if we have a wrong diet or a wrong eating or a wrong something, we could be subverted. Our body could be subverted. If someone tells us it's good for you, to, for instance, jump out of trampoline. My brother-in-law used to jump out of trampoline all the time, and all of a sudden, he found his bones began to leak, his hand began to leak, and then he read out some of the reports, and sometimes it does hurt your body because your body is, so you can hurt your body by eating things, wrong things, by drunkenness, all kinds of things. But if they subvert your soul, it's an important thing of saying it's you, be circumcised, and keep the law. I did the elders and leaders of Jerusalem told them that they should keep the law. They didn't do it. They gave no such command. They wanted to have it very clear. All right, let's read verse 25, 6, and 7 together. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to fulfill the first command of you, with that blood, Barnabas and Paul, and that hazard their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, which will also tell you the same things by mouth. All right, so what did they want to, again, in verse 25, what was the indication? Was there boisterous in this area? Was there a disorderly assembly here, verse 25, as they sent this letter? They were one accord, they were assembled, there was a peaceful spirit about them, and there was no boisterousness, there was nothing that was out of the ordinary. With one accord, they thought it good. Who did they send? And what did they call them? And what did they think of this man? They were beloved ones, okay, and chosen. Our beloved, Barnabas and Saul. See, they were Antioch's beloved, but now they've become a Jerusalem beloved. See, they're beloved in both groups, Antioch and also Jerusalem. Right? And then it says, men who have hazarded their lives. What does it mean, a hazard? Put at risk. Put at risk their lives. And that certainly was true for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't foolish. Some people hazard their lives for silly things. Whether it be drag racing or jumping out of bridges with a bungee, all kinds of things. That was for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stop right here for 26 and we'll take it out next week. All right. Do you have any other comments or questions for us? Yes.
In Matthew 10, the list of the apostles, or rather disciples, and there was James, the son of Alphaeus, so
That's not his name.
James.
And the other says, son of the Zoom, change of John.
There was,
yeah,
James,
son of
the
Yeah, so that's
the son
of the Yeah, that's good. So you got the four James. One was killed, his brother John. One was a half-brother of the Lord. One was son of Alphaeus. Now James is son of Alphaeus, did it? So that's three.
Yeah.
That's
different.
Well, that's John, so James.
That's right.
A little child is a little bit. You tell me, I'm not a little child. Any other comments that this will work for? All right, yes, ma'am.
You spoke for the people that are watching the live stream. Suburban, you mean, are the people of the sex subverters?
Of the sex?
Is that they were just pagan for the...
No, the first one, okay, all right.
Well,
verse 24?
The subverting, verse 24.
Uh-huh.
And there was a, somebody says, there's a, I'm looking at examples among us.
Oh, yeah, I got that, go ahead.
No, six, I mean, is it, of the six, or, I mean, of the...
I don't know. I didn't want to make my comment on that. Yeah, sometimes, our minds can be persuaded to believe things that are not
true. Or the sex subverting.
I don't know the...
Something's underneath.
Yeah, Virgo.
Change.
Changing underneath, yeah. I don't know, Dan. What do you think? Do you think? I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an act of charge to say that they want the sex or the subverters.
No, I don't think... There's a, sometimes our minds are changed. I don't know whether it's subversion or whatever, but we all have mind changes from time to time.
For most of you have heard that certain things went out from us have troubled you with words,
mm-hmm.
subverting your soul, saying you know, be circumcised and keep